text for our meditation this morning is a portion, several verses from the appointed psalmody to be read, the appointed psalm to be read on this Sunday. It is Psalm number 103, we read beginning at the 10th verse. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. There is no doubt at all that anyone who believes in God, and I lump into that category even agnostics and atheists, because there is really no such thing as a true agnostic or a true atheist. An agnostic, of course, doubts the existence of God. An atheist says they do not believe in God at all, but any philosophy of any kind will tell you that there has to be a God that the atheist chooses not to believe in. It's just the fact of the case. But regardless, every human being innately, by nature, has a concept of God. Whether they accept that concept or reject it is beside the point. They have a concept of God. And that concept of God comes out in their belief system that, again, might be buried deep within them somewhere, but it's there. Their belief in God shows itself sometimes in their anger toward him, in their doubting of him, even. And what things usually boil down to in such cases is very simply this. God's existence is doubted by them. They choose not to believe in God because God isn't doing things the way they want him to do them, the way they think things should be going. And what that tells us about every human being is that every human being believes that God has ability to do something. The ability to do what I want him to do, the ability to cause crime to cease in this world, the ability to prevent natural disasters in this world, God has the ability. And of course, when a natural disaster hits or something like that, well, then we hear there is no God because God didn't do anything. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. You know, and the argument goes on and on and on. Everyone believes God has ability. We do. We get sick, we pray to God for healing. Why? Because we believe God has the ability to heal us. The people in Jesus' day were bringing the sick to him over the past few weeks. We're reaching out, we heard in today's gospel reading, to touch him because they believed he had the ability to heal them. I don't think there's a single human being around, believer or unbeliever, who doesn't doubt that God has ability to intervene. We learn in our catechism, of course, that God is almighty. We remember that as one of his attributes, don't we? And what does that tell us? Very simply, God has the ability to do whatever. It's there. So what distinguishes the unbeliever from the child of Christ? Everybody believes God has ability. Well, I believe the psalmist gets to the bottom of that in these verses that I shared with you a few moments ago. First of all, please note that the psalmist says these words right in the middle of the three that we read. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Not toward everybody. we've got some kind of a qualifier on there, don't we? Sure seems like it anyway. Because the psalmist does not say that this is over everyone, his loving kindness. But it is upon those who fear him. Interesting. Very interesting. And so what we would want to do, as we have learned in Bible classes through the years, is we want to take a look at that word fear. And what does it mean to fear him? We learn from the Catechism, of course, the meaning of the commandments. We should fear and love God that. But what does it mean to fear him? Well, we all know it doesn't mean to be afraid of him. But if you were asked by someone, biblically, what does it mean to fear God? I wonder what your response would be. Well, here we go. According to the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord involves two things. One is a belief in the ability of God to do something. Well, so far so good, right? We've just established the fact that everybody has that belief. So does everybody fear the Lord? Now, there's one other element here that the Old Testament makes very clear to us as we look at it as a whole. And that is the fear of God not only has a belief in his ability to do something, but it has a belief in his will to do something. To say that he wants to do something. He wills to do it. An individual who believes God not only has the ability to do something, but also the will to do it, is the one who fears the Lord. And what is the psalmist talking about in our text for today? Well, you heard him. He hasn't acted toward us, rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The one who fears the Lord realizes this one thing. It may not be the will of God that I get well, but it is the will of God to forgive me. Think about that for a minute. God not only can forgive me, he wants to. And I think that's an element in people's faith that is often missing. We labor under this idea that God is some kind of an ogre up there that we must somehow convince to forgive us. By us doing something, by us saying something, by us refraining from doing something, or whatever it might be, that's the picture that many have of God. And then there's that pious statement that I've heard many times through the years, maybe you have oftentimes from people, when they have fallen off their own pedestal that they have built, you know, thinking themselves pretty good, and then they find themselves as bad a sinner as somebody else all of a sudden because they've done something. And what do you hear them say? I just know God can't forgive me. Stop right there. Because such a person does not fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord says, I have sinned and I know he will forgive me. No matter what it is. And look at what the psalmist said. As far as the east is from the west, you can't get any further apart than that. You can't get further apart than polar opposites. So far as has he removed our transgressions from us. What wonderful news that is. Yes, it smashes to bits the piety of men. many people. But to fear the Lord is to cut right into his heart and see what's there in his heart. And in his heart is the wanting to forgive. My, what a different concept of God that is than what many people have. And I have to say, if an individual doesn't want anything to do with the church or the church's teachings or anything else, because all the church does is teach how one has to labor under an ogre of a God to try to convince him to do some good to them, to forgive them, then I can't blame them for wanting to have nothing to do with the church. God has removed the transgressions of those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, that's not to say that his forgiveness is not there for all. But it is taken by those who fear him. That's wonderful news. I don't have to try to convince God to forgive me for something I've done. He wants to, before I even ask. He has the ability. He has the will. Those who fear him see that, believe that, and apprehend that.